we developed this strategy called Right Talent on Time for the global supply chain organization that focuses more on-time talent delivery versus traditional metrics like time to fill. And those are all important, but we really wanted to shift our mindset to be more like consumers. So when you go into Amazon, it tells you, hey, you'll get this afternoon, you'll get this in 2 days, you'll get this well off into the future. We wanted to do the same thing for talent. So we've been slowly deploying that. And as you can imagine, some business units or leaders embrace it more than others.
Hello, and welcome to the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and on this show, we interview today's industry leaders in talent acquisition to discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds. If you are working in talent acquisition and have always wanted to sit down with your peers at other companies to exchange ideas and learn, well, this show is the next best thing. Join us each week as we bring you a new expert interview and extract their expertise. This episode is brought to you by SageMark HR. Transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology. Selecting the right recruiting solutions to enable your strategy is one of the biggest challenges leaders face today. You know technology will help, but searching all the options to find out what will work best for your specific needs can be both overwhelming and time-consuming. At SageMark HR, we make selecting the right recruiting technology easy. Our proven process has helped companies such as 3M, Comcast, Stryker, Walgreens, and many more. Reach out to us at SageMark HR for a free consultation to learn how we can help you improve results with less stress and confidently change from reacting to leading.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and today I have a fun conversation with Mike Peterson. Mike is the Senior Director of Talent Sourcing, Intelligence, and Innovation at Edwards Life Sciences. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. I'm honored to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited about our conversation today. So let's jump in and start, as we always do, talk a little bit about your background, maybe how you got started in the talent space and a few of the roles that you've held leading up to your current role.
Yeah, of course. Oddly enough, like a lot of other people that have been on your podcast, I didn't have a plan to get into talent acquisition. It was something that I stumbled into. I originally wanted to be a pilot. And so started ground school and flight school. And then I went to a conference and they highlighted what it's like to be a pilot. And I thought, well, that's not really congruent with having a family. So I switched to plan B, which was HR, and got my first job as a recruiter for Manpower, ended up doing well and moving to a client as a recruiting assistant. And then over the course of some time, ended up working as a recruiter in the healthcare space and in the technology space, and then moved into leadership. So my first real leadership role in talent acquisition was as a recruiting supervisor for a large hospital system here, eventually moved up into head of TA role where I had 21 people on my team, and then decided to exit into another company to get international experience. So I worked for GIA for a while to reestablish their talent acquisition COE, and then moved over to a completely different space. So I worked for Viasat, which is a satellite and space company, as one of the TA leaders leading the team that supported commercial satellites and network infrastructure, then moved into TA ops, and then came here to Edwards. My first role here was to lead the global supply chain and quality team, and that was a brand new team, so I had to build it from the ground up. And just recently moved into my new role over sourcing talent, intelligence, and innovation. Super happy with my choice as my backup and just find it very rewarding to help people find new roles.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for doing that.
Of course.
Let's talk a little bit about, if you wouldn't mind scoping out or providing some background around Edwards Life Sciences and your role specifically. So talk a little bit about the business, what you do at Edwards Life Sciences, as well as your role and what the scope of your role is, how many team members, and maybe a little bit around the hiring at Edwards.
Yeah. Edwards Life Science is a medical device company that focuses on structural heart issues. So we primarily make heart valves and devices that help with heart valve function. And we're moving into the heart failure management space and eventually probably expanding what we do there. We're the market leader in a lot of the technologies that we deploy, sometimes first to market or often first to market. We have about 15,000 employees, and we're about $5.4 billion in revenue as of our most recent quarterly financials. And here in TA, we have several teams. So we're functionally aligned. I used to lead the global supply chain team, like I mentioned. And we have about 160 people, I would say, in talent acquisition, of which I want to say about 17 report to me in this new function. Almost all of them are in sourcing. So we're responsible for labor market intelligence, informing the business about where they can look for people or where the recruiting team can look for people, finding that passive talent. And then the other two verticals that I have, intelligence and innovation, are brand new. I have one person in the intelligence space that does metrics and analytics, and then honestly, nobody in innovation at this point. So in those spaces, we're supposed to provide labor market intelligence and hopefully move into competitive intelligence and metrics, and then maybe some internal stuff. In the innovation space, that's just huge because it's operations too. So our tech stack, our process improvements and evolution, and then what else? Recruiter enablement and training. So just a wide variety of different things. I like having different things on my plate at the same time.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for that. Let's talk a little bit about looking backwards over the last 12, 18 months. What are some initiatives that you and your team are really proud of? Maybe some changes that were made, some initiatives that yielded some good results, or things that you're specifically proud of at Edwards Lifesciences?
Yeah, I would say two things. Over the course of time, when I was first brought in, besides establishing the team, I was asked to put in a data-driven strategy. And so that took a little bit because you got to get to know the company, you got to get to know the business. I was new to medical device. But what's funny is, as we landed on the strategy, it was partially HR that was driving it. I don't think they realized that they would be the source of the data, and so would the business. So we developed this strategy called Right Talent on Time for the global supply chain organization that focuses more on on-time talent delivery versus traditional metrics like time to fill. And those are all important, but we really wanted to shift our mindset to be more like consumers. So when you go into Amazon, it tells you, hey, you'll get this afternoon, you'll get this in 2 days, you'll get this well off into the future. We wanted to do the same thing for talent. So we've been slowly deploying that. And as you can imagine, some business units or leaders embrace it more than others. But what I'm really proud of is we helped select the site for a new plant, which is being built right now in Valencia, Spain. And we've fully deployed that strategy. And it's proven to be highly effective. And there's been some unexpected benefits to that in identifying problems in the process and setting expectations with leaders so that they better understand what to them is a different market. Like they didn't necessarily understand the notice period requirements, or moving headcount around isn't always the best thing. So I think it's just been really eye-opening for everybody. And I'm just really proud of the team that's leading that. And they're continuing to do that. I've just really seen people develop their understanding and their professional capability as a result.
Yeah, I think that's great. I'd love to hear a little bit more if you'd be willing to share, maybe around that. I love the fact that you're talking about on-time delivery, yeah, and specifically around creating more of a consumer-like experience. And so setting, yeah, those expectations, if you wouldn't mind, specifically, how do you and your team set those expectations, and what things are you communicating to leaders to be able to help them understand what that lead time would be and what to expect as far as the timeliness of that talent delivery?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'd love to. What we do is we take a look at the workforce plan, which we know is not perfect. And that might be a hangup that some companies have in sharing it. They want it to be perfect. And let's be honest, nothing's perfect. So we take the workforce plan and we see what they need and when. And then we take all the data that we have in talent acquisition that sometimes isn't fully leveraged. And this is, I think, the key difference. So we look at what date do you need it? What's the notice period? How long do we think the search is going to take? How long will it take to get the approval? Sometimes we look at, will we need relocation? If we do, How do we account for that? And then instead of hoping for the business to realize these things, which of course they won't because they don't have the data, we go to the business and we tell them when to initiate the requisition. To be honest, one of the things that I've been proselytizing around talent acquisition is we've done a really good job of educating the business around the market's tough and things are hard. What we haven't done as good a job of is teaching them, the business, how do we react to that toughness? How do we react to the reality of the market? So it's a little bit like I look at someone that's competing in Olympics and I go, wow, they must have really trained hard. That doesn't mean I know what they did to train. So it's the same thing, trying to build that muscle of awareness. So we take that data, we trigger the initiation of the requisition. And then during that conversation of why they need to initiate, we walk them through the things that we're accounting for. And then usually a light bulb goes off and they go, oh, so if I submit the rec a month ahead of time, you're not going to find someone in time. I'm like, yeah, just like if you order your Christmas presents the day before Christmas, you're probably not going to get them. So,
yeah, I think that's great. It's something that is very simple and seems obvious, yet I can tell you not many organizations are actually doing that. So I think that is a very high value strategy. I think it's very smart. And having creating that awareness and transparency around lead times, cycle times, constraints, things that make the search go better, whatever you can with your end customer, I think that adds tremendous value. Also, just understanding on their part, because oftentimes too many TA organizations, they just say, okay, I got the job rec, now we start here, and they don't hear anything for a long time, and they always assume the worst, and it's a big problem. Yeah. So I think that's a very smart strategy.
Yeah, thank you. It's been really beneficial for us, and it positions us to be strategic partners that drive the process versus, I guess one illustration is the conversation goes from where are my candidates to us asking where are our recs. Yep. Which is a bit of a shift.
Yeah, puts you in a more of a leadership position versus just reacting to things. Yeah, I think that's great. Another question I always like to ask, and with your new role, this is really relevant, is how do you measure performance or success as it relates to talent acquisition, maybe both from an executive perspective at your organization? How do they determine if TA is successful or not? And what metrics do they look at? As well as internally within TA, what sort of metrics does your team look at to determine performance levels or success?
Yeah, so we're really fortunate here in a couple senses. The entire company is aligned around quality of talent. So we know, and part of that's because our devices aren't like, I love my iPhone. Don't get me wrong. If it's not working, it's annoying. But if our heart valve fails, that's a huge problem. So we're very oriented around quality of hire. That is by far number one. Now, do we have a great measure of it? Not really. There's plenty of opportunity to improve that measure. But, you know, we survey our hiring managers and ask them if they'd hire the same person again. And at this point, I think that's as good as it gets. And we hope to evolve that. The next thing that they look at is just how are we doing as far as filling requisitions? I wouldn't say it's very time focused. We totally track time from initiation to offer accept. But that's more an operational metric that helps feed that strategy and those decisions about when to initiate. From a TA leader perspective, I would say it's similar. My number one is quality of hire. And then it gets into how quickly are we able to do it, but more from an on-time talent delivery where we have the strategy deployed. So are we within a week of delivering talent? One way or the other, within 2 weeks, within 4 weeks, whatever that is, which is a little bit different metric. So we report both just as a bridge. And then cost really isn't too much of an issue because the way we're funded is we operate like an internal retained search firm. So we charge for requisitions. And so that takes cost off the table because they know what the cost is going in. And that covers nearly everything. It doesn't cover relocation expense and a couple other things. But for the most part, they can count on that expense remaining static.
That's great. Thanks for sharing. So now let's change gears and look a little bit into the future. So as you look at the next 12 to 18 months, what types of initiatives are bubbling up as key priorities for you and your team?
So being new to this role, it's really going to be all about establishing and reestablishing and consolidating all of these functions, evolving them to version one or two, depending on which vertical that you're talking about, and really supporting the business across several key initiatives. We have a big demand for field clinical specialists outside of the US and within the US that we have to support because that's critical to getting our products to patients. And then we have a lot of initiatives or desire, I should say, around technology for TA. So improving our use of our CRM, optimizing our ATS. And of course, I'm sure everyone says the same thing. How do we incorporate AI into all of this? And the great thing about working in an innovation structure or an innovation company is you're surrounded by innovators, but some of them are innovating ahead of us in TA. So we need to rein them back in a little bit. But I see that as an opportunity to get ideas because they are looking at TA process and capability from a different perspective. And I can really appreciate that because what I tell my team is it's very rare that I read a TA book. I'm usually reading a different business segments book and figuring out how to translate that into TA, because I think that's where the real competitive advantage can develop versus everyone's read this. So we're all incorporating a version of it right now.
Yeah, I think that's a great strategy. And I think I do the same thing as you read other books or other types of things, thinking about like, how can I apply this to the talent acquisition space. There's a great quote out there. If you want new ideas, read old books. Yes. I don't remember who said it, but it's really an interesting thing. And it does play through for sure. So I think that's great.
Absolutely. I completely agree.
Yeah. Last question I would have for you is, what's some advice that you would share for others? And most of the audience here are either in talent acquisition space or interested in the talent acquisition space. So what's some advice that you would share for the audience?
Yeah, I'll share some advice that I was given a little while ago. I think that as I look back on when I was younger, I think it's natural for many of us, myself included, to focus on being liked. And that in people's minds translates to being a good partner. And I'm like, but that's not true. Just as a parent, sometimes you have to have a not so pleasant conversation with your kids to get them onto the right track. I think sometimes we have to focus on doing the right thing, even if it's not popular, which then translates to probably not being liked in the moment. So really, I wouldn't say disregarding that, but not making it a focus. Focusing on being effective, doing the right thing. And if you're a likable person, you're going to be liked anyway. And I guess the other way works too. If you're not a likable person, I guess you aren't concerned about it. So yeah, that would be one because it's very liberating and it allows you the room to make really good decisions versus what's the decision that will make them happy.
I think that's some great advice. And I think, especially earlier in career, I think a lot of people find themselves more in the people-pleasing avenue or keep everything positive, but have it be data-based and set expectations and have the right communication with people so you don't get into trouble by just making decisions to keep the relationship positive and not having the honest conversation or being transparent. So I think that's great advice and I really appreciate it.
Of course. No, thank you.
Mike, thank you so much for joining me today on the podcast. I think you did an excellent job and really appreciate everything that you shared for the audience.
I'm happy to be here and thanks so much for the opportunity. If there's anything anyone needs help with, feel free to reach out to me over LinkedIn.
That's great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. If something we said today resonated with you, please subscribe, rate, and download our podcast and share the episode with your network. Ready to transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology just like our other clients at 3M, Comcast, Stryker, and Walgreens? Then reach out at sagemarkhr.com for a free consultation.